Thank you so much. We definitely don't want to leave that space of nearness to God. During worship, I was just feeling his nearness and want to take another brief minute. I know we don't have a lot of time, but just to take another breath. We say, God, you're welcome in our hearts, and we just wait on you, Father. We don't get a lot of quiet in this world, so we just take another breath of your presence, God. We can do nothing apart from you, Father. Your grace poured out here for us to abide in you, where true life comes from, abundant life, good life, everything good comes from you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so thankful for Tom, for Vicky, thankful for Bradley Epworth, thankful for the new thing you're doing here in their midst. God, we're honored to be part of this family. We're honored to be welcomed here. Continue to stir in our hearts, God. We don't just come here to get hyped up and experience something, God. We want to encounter you. We want to know you. We want to be sent out with a mission and with purpose, God, in the world of darkness around us. You've called us as reconcilers of those who are lost. You've called us as your ministers, your servants, children of the Most High. We thank you. Thank you for your truth over us, that your word, your blood speaks a better word over us than whatever the world has told us, whatever our father and mother has told us, whatever the people at our workplace have told us. God, we hear your words, love and acceptance over us because of your blood, because it's accomplished at the cross. We honor you. We honor your work, God, and we pray you just share your encouragement as we share testimonies of what you've done in Gwosheval. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Oh, man. So we are Jesse and Kirsten Lancour, and we are children of God. Oh, geez, I'm just a mess today, a good mess. But just that reality, like if you have said yes to Jesus and have yielded to him and have allowed him total like access to every part of your life, you're his kid. Like as a 34-year-old, like I get to keep learning how to be a child of God and to keep yielding to him. Oh man, it's such a gift. It's such a gift because there, like nothing else satisfies. Nothing is better. And it doesn't mean it's easy. You know, like Jesse's gonna be leaving after church today to go back home to Haiti without us. And that's hard, like that's a hard yes. But it's so beautiful because it's what he's asking of us. And we just want to keep living with a yes in our heart. And so I encourage you guys, like, let that be a part of your makeup of who you are as a person. Like, that there is a constant, consistent yes to Jesus. Because there will be a day where we will see him face to face. This life is but a breath. It's but a breath. You could die today, you don't know. And you will see Jesus face to face. And like, for me, the desire of my heart is to know that I gave him absolutely everything I possibly could every day of my life. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. I mess up all the time. But his grace and his goodness draw me back to him time and time again. Like, we're living for eternity. God, I just pray that you would give us eternal eyes. That we would be not living for today and get swept up in the spirit of the world, but that our eyes would be locked on you, Jesus, that our cares would be for your kingdom, that it wouldn't be for our comfort, our security, because true comfort, true security is found in you. Thank you, God, that we are breathing in and out your grace. We love you and we honor you, God. Oh, it's you're the reason we're here. Oh. Yeah, so we'll tell you about Cornerstone Haiti. So we have been missionaries there, living there in community for almost 10 years. And our desire for ministry is to develop Christ-centered community, educate generational leaders, and cultivate economic growth in the community of Gwosheval. And you can talk about baby right now.
Yeah, thank you for working the slides back there. Appreciate you. You can do the next one. Currently, the majority, we just always wanting, like, Haiti is full of normal people who want to live their lives, who want to go to work, send their kids to school. Man, it's been a country of chaos and destruction and hardship and rough history. But living there, you get to see the average Haitian, and they're struggling with nothing different than we are, just trying to live their lives and have a good future for their kids. As of July of 21, their president was assassinated, and pretty much gangs began controlling the capital city. Currently, they take about 80% of the capital, which limits traffic in and out. They control the major roads. That's hindered our travel in and out of Haiti, but God has continued to give us a way. The food insecurity, this year, Haiti is in the top 7 countries of the world with the lowest or highest food insecurity. And then just the past 2 days, they were covered with torrential rains. Just heard from Jean Robert, our in-country director, and tons of gardens are lost up in the mountains where we live, and then down in Port-au-Prince in the slums, there's just videos of roads that are now rivers of garbage, and it's just flooding people's houses. There's an SUV being taken down the road, and this is just like normal rains. It's like, it's not normal, but like 2 inches of rain in a day, and there's no infrastructure. There's no sewers. It's like all that stuff is just not existent. So there's a lot more suffering currently happening right now, which is really sad. Thank you for going ahead. We live in Guocheval, Haiti. So we have access into the country through the Dominican Republic, which Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with that. So if you can see the purple star at the bottom, that's where I crossed the land border, where we have crossed the last 2 years because of the gang violence, where the red star is. They've taken over those roads. They shoot at cars passing. People who have to go in and out of town for their livelihood to deliver their crops from the farm, they're taking a chance with their life every time they go, which is for a lot of them once a week. So we live where the black star is in the southeast part of Haiti. Go ahead to the next slide. And that's going into you. Yeah, that's we can speed up a little.
Yeah. So, like, Jesse skipped a little bit, the current situation for a lot of other missionaries. Like, we are able to get to our community. There are many other missionaries and organizations that have been forced out because of the gang violence, and so that has a big effect on the different communities as well. But because of where we're located, we can still get in and out. It just takes a lot longer, and it's a lot more difficult, but God has made a way, and we're very thankful for that. But we'll talk about our the different aspects of our vision. So developing Christ-centered community, that's our first, but really the foundation of everything. Because just like we were talking about earlier, like if Jesus isn't the center of it, if he's not involved, then you can give kids an education, you could feed them, you can give access to water, you can do all those things, but then they'll meet Jesus and it's like, oh, what was all that for? So this kind of work, this developing Christ-centered community is like long-term, day in, day out, mundane, hard conversations, getting into, you know, disagreements and asking for forgiveness and working things through and getting into scripture. And it's beautiful. Like that's the work that we want to be involved in, is knowing Jesus more and introducing him to other people and learning together as a community. So that just flows through everything that we do. And so specifically, like this picture is of our team at our school. And so these are the people that we get to do daily life with. And it's been beautiful and hard and ugly and wonderful all at the same time. You can go to the next slide. And in that, too, we are partnered with a local church. And so church services that happen on Sundays and Tuesdays, we have a wonderful group of people that go to different people's homes and do prayer meetings and worship services. You can go to the next slide. And then for the community, we have a 70,000 gallon water cistern. So there's dry season and rainy season. So in the dry season, we are able to open up that water cistern when other cisterns have gone dry and provide water for the community and also introduce them to living water in Jesus. You can do the next slide.
So 2 years into our time in Haiti, God directed us to start a school. Neither of us have education backgrounds, but God said, do this. And we started a preschool. You can go to the next slide for some of the numbers. With 25 students and a team of six, including us two, and that was 7.5 years ago in 2016. So now we're in our seventh year, and we have 119 students. We have preschool through fifth grade, which we've just added one grade every year, bringing our original preschoolers up through fifth grade, and 29 team members. I don't have my glasses. But it's just such a huge thing that God has developed. Like an institution, like a school, is a thing that doesn't pretty much exist up in these mountains. And to have something where these kids and these families can rely on a school that's founded in Jesus, that has teachers that love them, that has class sizes that are beneficial to them. Most of the schools in the area have about 40, 50 kids in a teacher's classroom. Ours have between 10 and 15. Most schools don't have pencils or notebooks or school books. It's just the teacher who might have one copy and a chalkboard and everyone's memorizing. At our school, we have a lot of materials. We have toys for the preschoolers. We have tricycles. We have a lot of big motion development things. And then we have materials for the older kids as well. It's just been such a miracle to see this grow over the years and to see the way God has responded through his church, through partnership, like you guys at Bradley Epworth, friends and family who have jumped on board to be a part of it and continue investing in building this thing. And Kirsten's going to share an amazing testimony later on. But yeah, Jesus is at the center of it. We have prayer. We have kids who are encountering the Lord. And yeah, they know they're loved. They know that their ideas matter, that they have a future and a hope at Cornerstone School of Truth. Go ahead to the next slide. We serve breakfast and lunch every day at school too, something that is, yeah, sadly not a common occurrence for every family. Go ahead to the next slide. Some of our cute preschoolers doing their work pages. Next slide. Outside play area, just having fun. Yeah, most kids, they're just kind of left to the side until they're big enough to start helping with the work. So a place at school where they can have recess, where they can run, laugh, and play is such a place of joy for them. Go ahead to the next slide. We've been developing our teachers because we don't have university-trained teachers. We don't have local. Yeah, we're not near the city where people are educated. We have people who love Jesus who we said, you know what, I think you could teach a class. And God has anointed them and called them. Like, that's my main message to our team is that, you know, it's not your job to become a professional educator. You need to keep loving God with all your heart and just love these students. Help them grow and we're going to teach them how to read, write, and do some math. That's going to be a blessing for their life. But if you lead them to Jesus, like, they're going to have greater opportunity, and that's the most important thing. But teaching our teachers has become an awesome thing to see as they've grown in their ability to structure lesson plans and figure out how to develop things uniquely for each student. Reflecting on how students respond and all that stuff is just like brand new. So we've been able to hire a director of curriculum. He came from closer to Port-au-Prince, but he's family connection, a close friend of our pastor. And he's been a huge influence for the past 2 years of our school. Go ahead to the next slide. And after they do any type of training, it's always a certificate, one of the most important things in Haiti to add to your resume. So they're just overjoyed to have a teacher's training certificate and know that they're advancing, you know, that they're moving forward in their life. It's been beautiful, too, to see how our team has just continued to let the blessings overflow. So they get a salary every month. They get to eat at school twice a day. And so that means they get to provide more for their family and for their neighborhood back in their homes. They have what they need in water, and they can share those resources. So they've been just a huge light, a city really set on this hill for the community to stir up hope. Thank you, God. Go ahead. We've done English class and tech training. So we still hold out hope for visitors to come and continue to visit us in Gaucheval sometime in the near future. Our team is really excited for that, and they love practicing English in the hopes of that when visitors come, they can share some sentences, laugh at each other because people don't know how to communicate. Like, we've really missed that over the last 2 years without being able to travel easy in and out of the country, affecting our team as well as us as a family, just missing that relational aspect, encouragement when people do come and shed new eyes on our situation. It's something that we pray for and hope that we'll come back again soon. So yeah, and then laptops, like bringing laptops in front of them, teaching them how to open Microsoft Word and type up a document, like none of this is known to them. So it's a joy for me. It's exciting to show them new things, and it's obviously really frustrating because it's really difficult. But a lot of our teachers know how to connect to a printer, and they print their schoolwork for their kids. So that's like a huge thing for our community. Go ahead to the next slide. Cultivating economic growth. In our vision, mostly this happens through school, as I was talking about their salaries that they get regularly right now. God's given me just a passion for trying new things and experimenting with agriculture, and we have hope and vision for expanding that in the future, growing coffee farms and having honeybees and chickens and all that kind of permaculture, restoring the land to what it's meant to be. Just again, hearing this heavy rainfall causing devastation, like if the land was cultivated and there were enough trees and things were properly done, then we would catch all that water, we would use it, and the blessing of God would flourish. So that's what we're hoping for, and we're trusting God to do it. We're obviously just two tiny people.
Sorry, just a second. Some of you said just that idea of like if your land isn't cultivated, then the blessing of God can actually become a curse. Just that kind of an idea of like in your heart, if you're not connected to the vine and your heart isn't cultivated to receive the blessing of God, it can actually seem like a bad thing. Dang, that was really cool and good. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, go to the next slide. So our team who's working at this school, our lunch ladies there, you can see that's our French teacher and our curriculum director. And then the labor that it's taken, you can go to the next slide, to move land, to build these buildings, to dig outhouse holes. That's that green roofed building there is a new 8-stall outhouse. So you have 119 kids and you have a big mess to deal with also. And then you can see on the left side of that picture, that's the 70,000-gallon water cistern that Kirsten mentioned. And on top of that, now we have our 5th and 6th grade classrooms. So all of our classrooms and our church building catch the rainwater and send into those. We have that one's our new one, and then we have under our cafeteria is a 40,000-gallon cistern. So that one takes care of our school needs, and then this one can store all the excess water for the year and then be opened during dry season. Go to the next page. Now we have people moving gravel and dirt. There's no caterpillar machines. There's pickaxes and shovels and wheelbarrows. And people who are so grateful for a week of work. It's amazing. And their pay is, you know, we do what we can to pay higher than a local wage. But yeah, the numbers are comparably so small for the amount of work that they do. But at the end of the week, they're just grateful. They get to take home a pile of cash to their family and make another step in what their hopes and dreams are for their lives. And the next one. Farming. We do have some farmland connected to our school, so we continue to hire out labor to do that. And then we have a little bit of extra food for our school meal program. Next slide.
So just a couple testimonies to share real quickly of just kind of giving the full picture of what our hope gifts are. So Shama, as you see, one of our students on the left, she's one of our fifth graders, and she's been with us since the very beginning of school. And on the other side, the right. Yeah, they're the same. Okay, the right is her mother, Magdala. So Shama has grown up in a home that worships demons, and she has been coming to school. She's been coming to school since she was in preschool 3, so for the past 7 years. And one of our teachers, Sonit, in particular, has really brought her in under her wing and has been like, come to church, Shama, come to my house whenever you need anything, and has just really become a mother in the faith, has really become like a godmother to her. And Shama decided to follow Jesus. So beautiful. So beautiful. So last January, Jesse went back. In January, Shama's mom, Magdala, was like, okay, Shama, I know you follow Jesus, but we need to go do our sacrifices up on the mountain. Like, can you come and just hold the baby? Like, you don't have to do anything. I know you disagree with this, but just come hold the baby. And as a fifth grader, she's like, Mom, I'm not going. Like, I serve Jesus. I'm not going to be involved in this. I'm going to go to my friend Leah's house when you go. So as a fifth grader, she took a stand for Jesus and went to her friend's house while her parents and the rest of her family went up on the mountain to make sacrifices to demons. In March, when Jesse was back again, he was in church, and Magdala comes into church, and she stands in front of everyone and says, like, I've seen my daughter take a stand for Jesus, and now I want to stand for Jesus too, and I'm not going to worship idols anymore, but I'm going to be all in for Jesus. Praise God. And it's like one of those things where, like, all of this work has been so worth it. Like, to see one of our, even if it's just one, there's more testimonies, but our desire is that our kiddos would meet Jesus, know him for who he is, the Savior and Lord of their life, and then be able to become missionaries to their families who are drenched in idol worship and fear and confusion, and bring the hope and the light of the gospel into their homes. And it's happening. Like, it's not just this, oh, nice thought or nice dream, but it's happening. Just like for you guys, no matter where you go, if you are in Christ, you are the light of Jesus. The darkness cannot cover the light. When you turn on a light switch, there's no battle. The light wins. If you are in Jesus, you can go into any situation and bring the light and life of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it's in you, no matter where you go. Amen. And that's what we're seeing in our students, and it is so beautiful.
Yeah, yes, Lord.
Okay, you can go to the next slide. Okay, and then just another beautiful testimony. This is C2I and Woodsy. We met them when we first moved there. They were 7 and 8 years old, and now they're 17 and 18, and they are young men, and it is really crazy. And they have very deep voices, and yeah, it's wild. But Jesse has been apprenticing them, since they were that age pretty much, and teaching them how to use power tools and how to build things. And as they've done so much work with him and have learned a lot of really good skills. And they also have seen his life. They see how he treats me as his wife. They see how he is a father to our kiddos and how he treats them. And it has just been this beautiful relationship that has been, continuing to build. And you see that building right there, that roof, these two guys, with the help of a couple guys that they're kind of apprenticing, they were able to do 80% of that roof all on their own. Jesse, made up the plans. He gave it to them, and he would go check on them, and he'd come back and be like, wow, they're, doing a really good job. this is awesome. Because the goal is, to be able to be like, hey, Situay and Woodsy, we need you to go build a roof on this neighbor's house, and for them just to be able to go and do it. A job for them, blessing for the community, and then they can teach, multiplication, discipleship in, spiritual things and in skills. And then just really beautiful. So Woodsy, the one in the yellow, he had called Jesse after he left in March and was like, Jesse, I've had 3 dreams that I need to be baptized. So I want to be baptized. And so now Jesse has this beautiful open door to now take Woodsy under his wing in even more of a spiritual sense and dig into scripture and be able to see the gospel transform Woodsy's life, who we met him, he was an orphan, he had no home to go to, and now just to see him become the man who God has created him to be. It's so awesome.
My turn. Glory. Whew. So we plan to head back. You can go to the next slide. In September, we don't know. God's just got us on a whirlwind. He has since we said yes. And man, we just want to encourage you. There's no better place to be, like Kirsten continues to say. There's nothing special about us, but that we've said yes, and God has made us special. And each of you sitting here, you have a missionary calling on your life. It's not just people who go across a body of water. We're going to increase our school up to sixth grade this next fall. And as far as what we can have under our leadership, we're praying that our team would grow and create a high school for the community that our kids could graduate into. A for-profit high school, which they are working towards and believing for. And yeah, we're going to keep pouring into our team. So growing them, establishing them, equipping them in the gospel, and as teachers. Next slide. We cannot do what we're doing without the church behind us. We've been almost 10 years at this, and when we started, we came and visited places like you guys, family and friends, and we shared a vision, and most people were like, you guys are nuts, and you're probably going to die out there. But God has made something of it, and it's been beautiful. We're so thankful for the people who have been behind us, the churches like Bradley Epworth, continuing to support us. We need your prayer. We need your commitments to cover us spiritually, as well as financially. So one really easy opportunity, the testimonies we've shared about this school, individuals like you can be godparents. In Haiti, there's godparents for when a kid is dedicated at church, when a kid is baptized, or when someone's married, lots of stages. So our students at school know that they have godparents in America who are praying for them and who are sending funds. So that costs $50 a month. To get these kids all that they need at school, to pay salaries for the teacher, to help us build these buildings, to give them food and water that they need. So I just pray that you would ask God and say yes, obviously. And those another opportunity is to partner with us individually, as a family. Our personal support goal is another $2,700 a month, just to keep us traveling back and forth with the situation of the gangs and then security. We've been able to purchase a house in Florida, which has given us a landing spot as we travel more back and forth. Our kids are growing up, and they cost money, which a lot of you guys know. our personal support comes, again, just from friends, family, people in the church who have partnered with us, who give $50, $100, $200 a month, to help us keep doing what we're doing. So ask God about that. All the information's on those cards. There's a QR code, website. There's a picture of our family. You can pray for us. And then also there's a commitment card. So that commitment card is the one we want to get back, just to get your contact. We don't spam anyone. Kirsten writes an amazing newsletter, like Tom was saying, once a month. And we share opportunities. So we would love for you to consider being a part of that. Perfect. And go ahead to the last slide. So God, we honor you. To you who are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to your power, God, that's in work within us. To you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 Church, bless you. Thank you for your time, your attention, being encouraged and strengthened. We love you.